Well, it is good to be back again in Newton Arts and to have the opportunity to tell you about the work of God in the land of Uganda. I'm being very careful to say Uganda in case I get mixed up and say Kenya. I've been doing meetings and talking about Kenya for many years, but the Lord has seen fit to move me to Uganda. So tonight I'm here as a missionary to Uganda. And I want to thank you for your prayers, and I want to thank you for your practical support for the work of God in that land. It is, of course, a fairly new work that has come under our mission board, so it's new for us, and we need all the prayer support that we can get, and we appreciate those who do think about us and those who pray earnestly. People have been telling me I pray every day, and that is what we need. We need people who pray every day for the work of God in that place. I should bring greetings from the Reverend Stephen Miller and his wife Ruth. It's good to see Ruth's parents here tonight. I was thinking as I come in, they're just getting younger and younger looking every time I see them. But it's good to see them here tonight. And I enjoy working there alongside Stephen and Ruth in Uganda. And it's good to have people who are right up to date, because it's true. Andy and Hannah arrived there today. I hear they've had a good rest and they're getting settled in to their new home. So greetings from all of them, and also from the staff and the students there at Emmanuel Christian School. Now we're going to read from God's Word, first of all, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we'll read verse 1, and then we'll slip down to verse 8 and read a few verses from there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And then verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how that shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Well, then there we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. It's good to see that Gordon has arrived, and we assume all is well with the wheel. It's great to have a man about whenever these things happen. So we do appreciate all his help and all his assistance. I want to set before you some prayer requests, first of all, about the work there at Emmanuel in Uganda. The DVD covers very well my work and what I do, but I want to leave some prayer requests with you before we watch it. And first of all, I would ask you to pray for the Millers. They have been holding the fort since I came back, and they'll be very happy to have the Fosters arrive today. But pray for Stephen and Ruth as they look after the work in the church and also the work in the school at this particular time. It's relatively easy to get children to come to the school. It's much harder to get people to come in to the church because it is a Muslim and a Roman Catholic area. But pray that as Stephen goes out with others on outreach week by week, pray that many would be drawn in under the sound of God's word. We have had those who have come in as a result of the evangelism that is done every week, and pray that more would come in. We have had people who have professed faith as a result of that evangelism, and again pray that more would profess faith and that we would see a church established there and the work built up. Pray as well for the Sunday school, that God would continue to bless it and to add children to it. There is no shortage of children in Uganda, All right, it's teeming with children everywhere. Everywhere you look, there are children to be found. And we thank God for their willingness to come and for the willingness of the parents to send them, whether it's to the day school or to the Sunday school, and pray for the teaching of God's word that goes on there in the school every day and in the Sunday school every Lord's Day. Pray that the Lord would bless and that children would come to know Christ. Pray for the prayer meetings and Bible studies and all that is involved in the ministry there, that the Lord would bless the Millers at this time. Ruth is helping out in the school and she's doing more and more because I'm away, and just pray that God will bless her and help her. And also Madam Catherine, the primary head teacher, who is also helping to look after things while I'm on furlough. So pray for them. School started back this week. Stephen says all is well here. So I suppose that's a good report. It's good to hear all is well here. And we thank God for that and pray that all would continue to be well until I get back. And even after I get back, the children have been gathering in. It's common that they come in slowly and steadily. It's not like back to school here in Northern Ireland where you say this is the day to go back to school and everybody comes in the first day. That doesn't happen in Africa. All right, you say this is the day to go back to school and maybe a few come that day and then a few more come the next day and then a few people wake up and realise, oh, we're supposed to go back to school, and they start organising themselves to come back, and eventually maybe by the second week you can expect to have a good turnout. So God willing, by tomorrow most of the children should be in, most of the boarders should be back, and of course we have those who live on site all year round. We have some new children this term. We weren't really planning to have new children because most classes are full up, but I heard that there were some parents who were pleading, so we said, all right, let them come, and we'll try to squeeze them in as best we can. But pray for the school as it runs this term. This is the third term at Emmanuel. The school year runs from the end of January until the beginning of December. So it's the third term, it's the exam term. Children are doing exams. Primary 7 have the leaving certificate exam to do in November, and the senior 4s have their O-levels to do as well. So just pray that God will undertake that all will be well, that there won't be sickness or anxiety or stress or hysteria or any other thing. Just pray that God would keep them calm and that they would be able to finish and do all that is expected. And pray for those who will be teaching God's word, who will be taking the assemblies while I'm away, those who will be helping in many other ways as well. Pray that God would bless them and help them and give them wisdom in all that they do. Remember also the fosters as they do settle in. We thank God for his hand upon Andy in the months that he was with us and the work that he did, for helping him even in all his travels to get married and the honeymoon and touching base here in Northern Ireland and finally travelling back to Uganda. Pray that God will bless him and Hannah. Hannah's a lovely young lady, but she is very young. She's 21. She's just got married. She's a new bride. She's just finished university. She's left home. She's left her country. And she's travelled out to a mission station there in Uganda to work with people like me. And just pray for her. Pray that God will undertake for her and help her to settle in. And pray that God will guide her and show her her role and what she can do in the work of God in that place. She's very keen to get involved. She's very keen to do something. She doesn't want to be sitting about all day. So pray that God would help her and show her the needs and the areas where she can best assist us. Remember also the team who hope to go out this autumn. We had a team who came in February time, and they put in the base and the septic tank for the new toilet block. That was all we planned that they would get done in the length of time that they were there, but they felt bad that they hadn't finished it. And they said, now we really should go back and finish that. And so they volunteered to come back again in the month of November and to finish it off, to get the walls in, the cubicles up, and the roof on, and whatever else needs to be done. So pray for that group of men. I hear you've people going out from from your own congregation. And it's good to have people even come out to help in practical things. I have been thinking about Andy, and Andy is a very good worker. But, you know, if we expected Andy to do all the work that needs to be done at Emmanuel, I don't know, we would need to give him about 50 years, I think, to get it done. Because there's repair work that needs to be done, there's improvement that needs to be done on the structures that are there, and there are new structures that need to be built. And so when we have others who can come out and help and support and push things on just a little bit faster, it is a great blessing. And of course it's a great blessing when we have those who come out to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God and to help there too. And do remember the Reverend Miller. There's nobody to really to call upon. Well, now that Andy's there, he'd be calling on Andy. But apart from that, there's nobody else to call upon to come and preach or to take a meeting or to stand in for a week or anything like that. So really, Stephen and Ruth are very much committed and very much tied to the work there week by week and day by day. And do continue to pray for them. Pray for the language study that we are to undertake as missionaries. Stephen and Ruth have paved the way. They went first, and they spent some weeks up in Kampala and got a basis, and now they're continuing with their language study on site at Emmanuel. And pray for them that God would help them. The language is Luganda. If you Google Uganda, you'll see that it says that the official languages are English and Kiswahili. And that is true. In all the offices, you can use English. In the education system, there's a lot of emphasis on English. So in the school, there's a big emphasis on English. But when you go out into the community, particularly in the area where we are, you find that people speak Luganda. And to be able to reach those people, especially the older people, and even like the parents at the school, or those who haven't had a chance to go through the education system, it's vital that we learn Luganda. So pray for Stephen and Ruth as they progress with that. Pray that God would help them and give them an ear for it and give them time. The big problem is time, because the work is already up and running. You can't disappear for 6 months to go and learn your language. You have to try and fit it in around your normal duties. So just pray for them as they endeavour to do that, and for Andy and Hannah, and also for myself. All of us need to try and do that. Excuse me. We are hoping to get electricity on the site. Almost a year ago, they dropped in some poles. We saw these men out digging holes. We wondered what they were doing, and we discovered that electricity poles were being put in. And we got excited, and we thought, oh, electricity's coming to Nsalu. And then we asked them, when did they think the electricity might come? And they told us, January that's passed. All right, you'll get maybe by January. I think January, or definitely by February. But of course, not a sign. More recently, they have put up the wire on the poles, so that's looking more promising. But just pray that they will get it connected, you know, that we'll be able to use it. Meanwhile, we're using the solar, and we thank God for the solar power that we have, and even for the generators that can back it up and boost it. But it would be good to have electricity on site. It would mean we could use things that we can't use at the moment. Generally, a very good guideline is anything that produces heat kills your solar system. So try not to use anything that produces heat, like a toaster or a kettle or an iron or a hairdryer or anything that produces heat. It will just drain it almost instantly. Things that produce light don't seem to be so bad, but anything that produces heat puts a very big drain on the power. So pray that those practical needs would be met. Pray as well for the need for a vehicle. When I came across from Kenya, I drove over in one of the vehicles we were using there, and I kept it there while I was there. It wasn't needed just at that time. But recently, as I was leaving, the car went back to Kenya, and David and Rachel McCauley are using it there now. And we do need a second vehicle in Uganda. We're in a remote area. It's like 5 miles to the closest town, if you want to call it a town. The town for your groceries is like 25 miles. The place where Andy would need to get most of his supplies would be 25 miles away. And if you're thinking of going up to Kampala, that's 60 miles, but it's 3 hours because the traffic is dreadful. So obviously, if one missionary goes out in the car, the rest are kind of stranded. And if any emergency comes up, then now what do we do? That really is the concern. And I know Andy's work obviously is very physical, a lot of climbing, and he probably does the more dangerous work of all of us. And if the car's out, he'll say, "Now I won't do this, and this, just in case something happens when you're away." And I would have no means of getting medical help. So just pray about that the Lord would provide the need for a second vehicle, and that all would be well there at Emmanuel. We read from Romans chapter 10. We read verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And I know that is the desire and the prayer of all the missionaries there at Emmanuel. There are many needs in Uganda. I have mentioned many of them. You will see many of them on the DVD. But the greatest need of all is for souls to be saved. Yes, those people need many things. But above all, they need God's salvation. And you know, it's the same. That need is the same, whether you're in Kenya or Uganda or Newtownards or any other part of this world. That is the greatest need of men. They need to be saved. Paul, when he wrote this letter, he talked about how we can be saved. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. And that is the message that we have for the people there in Uganda. That's the only message we have. That if they will confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they shall be saved. And it's wonderful to be able to tell people that message. There's not much in Uganda to give people hope. Life is difficult. The circumstances are dire. Life is hard. People die around us all the time. You could have a funeral every week in the community, and there's not much to give people hope. But it's good to be able to tell them that if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. And also that if they believe on him, they shall not be ashamed. And you know, it's wonderful. I was thinking of those words in verse 12. It's wonderful to know there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There is no difference. It doesn't matter if it's a Kenyan, it doesn't matter if it's a Ugandan, it doesn't matter if it's a Muslim, it doesn't matter if it's a Roman Catholic, it doesn't matter if it's somebody who's still steeped in African traditional religion, it doesn't matter if it's somebody who's still tied to his witchcraft. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the same Lord over all who is rich unto all that call upon him. And that is a wonderful truth that we have. It's a wonderful message that we have, and it's a wonderful encouragement to us as missionaries. But we're reminded here of the need for people to take that message. The need for people to take that message to those who've not heard. It says, "How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent?" How will people call on Christ if they have not believed in him? How will they believe on him if they have never heard of him? How will they hear of him if nobody has ever gone to tell them? And how will people go to tell them unless they are sent? And we know that it is the Lord who sends us. We know the church and the mission board send us, but overall it is the Lord who sends us. And maybe the Lord would send someone from here to go and take that message to people who have never heard. It might not be in Uganda, it might be somewhere here in Northern Ireland, it might be some other mission field of the world. But how will people call if they've never heard and if no one goes to tell them?